Oh, God is good?
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Well, I heard those wonderful testimonies as I was sitting back there preparing for Mass today. I heard those, and I thought I got to begin the same way. Hello, my name is Roger, and I'm from Cleveland. He said, I'm retired, but bishops never retire. They never retire. I'm still active as I was when I sent my resignation in 7 years ago. So that's my so-called, they call me emeritus now. An emeritus, an auxiliary bishop emeritus, just means that everybody thinks you're retired. But I'm not. But anyway, I'm so happy to be here today with you, because this is my first day in, Damascus camp. Okay. And I'm hoping I get back many more times, because it's beautiful here, and to see you and to hear your testimonies about how the Holy Spirit has touched your hearts. Oh, it's amazing, because I do a lot of confirmations, as you imagine, as a bishop, and I just hope and pray as I'm administering the sacrament of confirmation that those who are receiving it can feel the Holy Spirit, And to see your smiling and your actions in church, and here in this church, because this is church today, now it's amazing. I just love it. Because when I go to parishes throughout the diocese, no matter where I go, what parishes I'm at, everybody looks that they're there for a funeral. Nobody smiles. They think smiling in church is a sin, you know? And I'm so glad to see you up here, because in all my Catholic churches, everybody fills in the back row first. They come an hour early so they can sit in the back pew, you know. Oh, gee whiz. But if a rock star was there, they'd be fighting for the first pew. But for Jesus Christ, they sit in the last pew. I just don't understand it. You know, I had my life and my vocation came when I was basically in grade school. Because when I was in grade school, I used to practice the Mass in the basement. You know, I knew someday I was going to be a priest. And I'd play the Mass. My brother, a year younger than I, he would serve for me. That was as long as I had the Necco wafers for him, okay, for communion, okay? He'd go to communion 2 or 3 times. You know? But anyway, you know, as I went to high school, I loved sports. And I participated in football, and I got a girlfriend. That's the way I felt, too. I had a girlfriend. You know, I was the captain of the football team in my senior year, you know. When you're a captain of the football team, you got to hold the girls off, you know. But I had one for 2 years. I was going with her under, you know, the dances and the dinners and things. I would go with her. But then I realized that I did have a vocation to the priesthood. I did have a vocation. So anyway, so after our last dance, I said, Aggie, I got something to tell you. I'm going to the seminary in September. All I got were tears. And I always thought of you as a father, but not that kind. So anyway, now you know why the electricity went off, huh? Okay. But anyway, so I go to the monastery, and I have to start novitiate, which is a whole year preparation in the Benedictine monastery. But the first thing is I have to get a name. I have to get a religious name. Okay, I was baptized William Joseph. And we already had a Father William. We already had a Father Joseph. So I had to get another. And I really wanted Roger. So I said, I'm going to take Roger. And then the novice master says, you have to submit 3 names because the abbot gets his choice. Oh. So I said, how can I fool him? Okay, how can I fool him? So I tried to pick 2 names that he wouldn't give me. And I knew he wouldn't give me Valentine. That was my second choice. And I knew he wouldn't give me my third choice because my last name is Grace. And so I took, my third name was Axel. I know he didn't want to have a monk, Axel Grace. I know that. So I got Roger, and I just loved monastic life. I loved the vocation because, in a way, it was peace and quiet because the Benedictine motto is ora et labora, prayer and work, prayer and work. And our whole day was based on that rhythm that we had every day. We'd pray at certain hours of the office, and we'd work certain hours so that we would be community, okay? But, you know, when I became ordained 56 years ago, how about that, huh? When I became ordained, I felt what so many of you have claimed in your testimonies today. Because when I stand at the altar, in persona Christi, which means in the person of Christ, representing the community gathered together as I offer the prayers for you to Almighty God. And I stand there with that bread, that little white piece of bread in my fingers. And I say the words of Jesus, "This is my body, which is given up for you." I just stand in awe because I'm holding in my hand the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Oh, I just shake every time I do that because what an experience that is. And I think when you too, today during the sacrifice of the Mass, you say Jesus touches you. Jesus does touch you. In fact, he shakes hands with you. Because when you come to communion, if you take communion in the hand and you have Jesus Christ's body and soul and body and blood, soul and divinity in your hands, it's like shaking hands with Jesus Christ. And what a time we have to remember that as we share the body and blood of Christ and return to our places in ecstasy, because we are what we eat. And so we are the body of Christ. We are the presence of Christ in our world, and that's what you take home with you today. You take home that because you are the body of Christ. And as one person said, the Spirit lives within you. The Spirit lives within you. But I'll tell you a little story. It's a story about a servant. A servant who every day he's responsible for the water at the king's table. And so every day he takes two big pots, takes them, puts them on a pole, takes them down to the spring or whatever it was, fills them up, and takes them back up the hill to the banquet hall. Well, one of the pots had a crack, and it spilled out half the water every day. It spilled out the water, and that pot, I like to call it the crack pot, because it was cracked. Okay, so that crack pot, losing half the water. And one day, God said to the crackpot, "Anything you want to ask, ask." And so it was able to speak to the servant and said, "Servant, why do you take me every day? I spill half the water out. And the servant said, "I'll show you tomorrow." Well, the next day, he fills up the pots. Crackpot's losing half its water. And they're walking up the hill. And he said, "Servant, you said you were going to show me today why you do this." And the servant said, "Well, look at the path. You notice anything different about the path?" And the crackpot said, "Yeah, it's sort of funny. There's flowers only on one side." He says, "Yeah, it's on your side. I saw that you were leaking water every day and spilling it, so I went to town, bought some seeds, and planted those flowers along the path. So every day you water those flowers. And every day when we get to the king's table, I have enough water for the king's table. But those beautiful flowers on the table are the result of the water you spilled." And I tell you that story because you're all crackpots. You're all crackpots because when you go home, your life is going to be changed, and you're going to be doing things and saying things you never realized you would ever do. And other people are going to see in you all that you benefited, all the graces you earned, and how you were touched by God here during this week at Damascus. It's an honor to be a crackpot. Because as so many of you said in your testimonies, you are going to be different when you go home because you are going to make differences and changes in your family by the example you give. It doesn't have to be by the words necessarily, but by the example you give, the way you pray and the way you get to Mass and the way you do those things, it's just going to be an inspiration for everybody. And you are guided by the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. I like to tell my confirmation classes a story about how when I was in the monastery, I was also president of the high school in Cleveland, and it was one of those things where I didn't have any many responsibilities outside that property. In the monastery, I was in charge of the monks. In the school, I was president of the school. So back and forth. But in 2001, when Bishop Pilla called me to his office and said, John Paul II wants you to be a bishop, I said, oh, no. No. I'm going to retire next year as abbot. I got so many plans. And he says, you want to make God laugh? Tell him what your plans are. Okay? Okay? So anyway, I became a bishop, and now I had to leave. I had to leave the monastery. I had to leave the monastery, and now I had to go to all. We have 185 parishes in the diocese, and I didn't know where two-thirds of them were. How am I going to get there, you know? So I got me a Garmin. I got me a GPS, you know, global positioning system. Oh, man. And it was fun because, you know, like a toy. The first time I got it, I put it on the dashboard, put in the address, and I'm going out to the street, make a right-hand turn. And I'm only out there about 2 minutes when a woman's voice comes and says, at the next light, turn left. Now, 45 years in a monastery, a woman never told me where to go. Now this woman's telling me all the time. Okay? But even better than that, my mother was retired. She's 86 years old. She had no idea how this thing worked. So I'm taking her out to dinner. She's in assisted living. And I put the address of the restaurant in, and this woman starts giving me directions. Now, my mother, being the good mother that she was, and being a young abbot, I'm a young bishop now, my mother's over there, Roger, who is that woman? I said, Bob, that's a computer. Where is she? Mom, I told you, it's just a computer. A couple minutes later, Roger, how does that woman know where you are? So I explained to her about the satellite focusing in on this Garmin, getting it to its destination, you know? And then I start thinking about at confirmation classes. I tell the students who are being confirmed, today, in a very special way, like the apostles, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's positioning system. God is going to lead you through the Holy Spirit to your destination, which was put in on the day of your baptism, and that is touching the face of God. So the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who have been confirmed already, you know that when the holy oil was placed on your forehead, the bishop said, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just as you seal a letter or seal a card to protect what's inside, the Holy Spirit is within you for the rest of your life until you touch the face of God. Because that's to whom you have been directed. That's to whom you have been given to end your life here on this earth and to spend time with God in heaven. At that time, the Spirit comes out, and then you see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all their glory, because now you've reached your goal. You've touched the face of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, so many of you mentioned the Holy Spirit. So many of you mentioned the Eucharist. So many of you mentioned the sacrament of reconciliation. That's how God touches our lives. God touches our lives through those sacraments. Each and every one of them, we are touched by Almighty God. And Pope Francis, in his recent letter to the youth, said, I have to remind you of three things. In the words of Pope Francis, the first thing is, remember, each and every one of you, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. God loves you wherever you are, who you are, whatever you do. God still loves you. You can't run away from God. God always loves you. And how do you know God loves you? Because he gave you the best gift he could give you. He gave you the gift of his own son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. Whenever I look at that cross, I say, Lord, how could you have died for me? Why would you do that? Why would you die for me? I said, do you really love me? And you know, the young children or young infants, as they get a little bit older, you ask the infant, how much do you love me? And the infant goes, so much. Jesus did the same thing on the cross for us. He showed us how much he loved us by showing his arms out, being nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross so he could never change his love for you and I. He gave his life for us. That's what we say when we consecrate the Eucharist. This is my body which is given up for you. What a gift we have received. But more important than that, the third thing. Remember, God loves you. He gave his gift of Jesus to die for us. And the third gift is Jesus vivat. Jesus lives. And he's with us. He's walking with us. He's always with us. And we are present in his eyes. And we are present when we visit him. And do you ever realize that as we sit in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, and for benediction, or as the Eucharist is exposed, all we think about is we're looking at Jesus. But never forget that is Jesus looking at us. Looking and staring at us and saying to us, thank you for being here. Thank you for being my children. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's God, that's Jesus, and that's the Holy Spirit. And today, as we conclude this week of camp here at Damascus, I'm sure, just hearing some of the testimonies, that each and every one of you can make a difference. Because we need a young church. We need a young church. And you can only imagine, the impact that you would have in our church and parish communities if you would all be active in some way, attending Mass and sharing the Eucharist and sharing the reconciliation and being there whenever there is an opportunity to show people that Jesus Christ leads us to
freedom.
Oh, and that's what he's won for us on the cross, and that's what he's given us through his resurrection, because now he is with us. So my brothers and sisters, God bless you all. I hope you had a great week, and I hope and trust that what you have within you now will be shared, not kept for yourself, but shared with the world and shared with your families and shared wherever you are. Let people know that you truly believe that Jesus Christ leads you to freedom. Okay? God bless you all.